Welcome to worship at Wesley Memorial today. Good morning to you all here and on Zoom. If you're visiting us for the first time, do introduce yourself and join us for tea, squash, coffee, and conversation in the hall after the service. We continue to hold Joe, Jack, Billy, and the family in our love and prayers at this sad time. I hope to be able to email details to you of the arrangements later this week. The atrium doors have now been repaired. Great news. So you can now exit into Newen Hall Street as before. So we're hoping that this will be settled now. There are activities for children here at the front today. So if any children do arrive, very welcome to join Gwyneth here. I'm delighted to welcome Joanna Tullock to lead our worship today. Joanna is a member of our church, a local preacher in the circuit. Thank you, Joanna.
Good morning, everyone. We have a responsive call to worship this morning, which will be on the screen. Living One, open our lips.
And we shall sing of your
wonders. Open our eyes.
And we shall see
your glory. Open our hearts.
And we shall embrace
your love. Open our minds.
And we shall discover
your wisdom. Open our hands. Bless us with your spirit. Amen. Our first hymn this morning will be on the screen, but if you want to follow it in the book, it's number 21 in the red hymn book. Born in song, God's people have always been singing.
Thank you.
Now a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. In the beginning, God made the world. Let us give thanks for all that God has made. Think of a time when you saw that the world is beautiful. Think of a sunset over the hills or sunrise over a sleeping city. Think of a running river or stars shining on a dark sea. Think of light flashing on a puddle or of geraniums growing in a window box. Think of a time when you saw that the world is beautiful and give thanks. Think of a time when you learn something new about life. Think of understanding something that has always been a mystery, or of seeing someone else in a different light. Think of discovering a gift that you never knew you had, or of listening to a good idea. Think of knowing what is important to you, or of believing that some things matter more than others. Think of a time when you learn something new about life and give thanks. Think of a time when your spirit was refreshed. Think of a song that moved you to tears or of a prayer that inspired you to act. Think of laughter shared with friends or care of your family. Think of a stranger who made you feel welcome or of someone who said, "I love you." Think of a time when your spirit was refreshed and give thanks. Think of a time when you were in despair. Think of feeling alone in a room full of people or of being unwanted by even one person. Think of being ashamed because you've hurt someone, or of being awkward because you misjudged a situation. Think of being worn with worry or anxiety, or of knowing that your life is a sorry, disgusting mess. Think of a time when you were in despair. Then think of the suffering, forgiving, changing love of Jesus and give thanks. The world belongs to the Lord. Think of the Maker and give thanks. Amen. The theme of our service this morning, first we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The theme of our service this morning is Look, Listen, Learn. Who is Jesus? Now, I was hoping that I was going to have some children to help me with the questions in this introduction, but the grown-ups will have to do it instead. Because I think we still haven't any children. Some came in during the first hymn, but they disappeared again before I could welcome them. In today's service, we're going to hear about some Bible characters and their names. My name used to be Sarah, but now it's Joanna, because Joanna means God has been kind. And God gave me this name, Joanna, after I'd had a long illness. We're going to hear some stories about God's kindness in today's service. In particular, we're going to look at people whose names were changed or given for a special reason because of God's kindness. There is a little picture quiz that I'm going to do now, and I was hoping that there would be children who would go and do some colouring during the rest of the service. So if you don't fancy listening to the sermon, you're very welcome to go over there. There's paints and crayons and outlines of icons and all sorts of exciting things in the corner there. First of all, I want to tell you about someone who didn't believe that God was able to give her a child. Who might that have been? Sorry? Yes, she was one of them. There's more than one in the Bible. The one I'm thinking of has a name that begins with S. It was Sarah. And here, I don't know whether you'll be able to see the detail, but on the screen now is an icon of what happened in Genesis 18, when Abram and Sarai, which were their original names, had been told by God to go to a different place, and they'd gone to the place that God had directed them to. And one day, three people, or possibly angels, because you can see them there with their wings and halos, came along, and Abram and Sarai hurried to make them comfortable and set food and drink before them. So you can see the food and drink on the table. Abram had been told by God that although he was alone and he and his wife had no children and they were already very old and they had no hope of children, and that made them very unhappy, God had told Abraham that he would make him as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now you can see on the picture just in the bottom left corner and the bottom right corner, Abram and Sarai. But when God said to Abraham that after a year Sarai would give birth to a child, she, who was at the entrance to her tent and overheard what God had said, laughed out loud. And God heard her. Although she denied it, God changed her name to Sarah, which means princess. And more importantly, he told her to name the baby Isaac, which means laughter, because Sarah had laughed when she heard God's promise. Abram became Abraham, which means father of a great many people, because he believed what God had promised, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. So this is another example of God being kind. And in one of our readings later, Abraham, who trusted God, is called the rock from which many people are descended. Another story we're going to hear later from the Bible is about someone whose name was also changed, but this time by Jesus. Has anyone any idea who that might have been? Simon, yes. Simon. And there you can see him on the screen after God had given him the name Peter, which also means rock. One day when Jesus was walking with his disciples, he turned to them and said, "Who do people say that I am?" "Some people say that you're a prophet," they said. "Perhaps the one who baptized people by the Jordan, or the ancient prophet who went up to heaven in a fiery chariot." Two more picture clues here. That first one was John the Baptist. And the second one, who went up in a fiery chariot?
Elijah,
yes, that's right. "But you, who do you say that I am?" asked Jesus. No one replied until Simon blurted out, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Messiah means the one who is the Savior of the world. And Simon was suddenly seeing that Jesus was the Son of God, whom God in his kindness had sent to save us all. Then Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, which means the rock, and said that Peter would become the rock on which Jesus would build the church. Now here is a picture of Jesus after he had risen from the dead. This picture is known by the Eastern Church as the Pantocrator, which means the Lord and ruler of all. But it can also mean, and I'll expand on this later, the Lord and holder of all. In Jesus, God holds us close and comforts us. God wants us to be kind because he wants to be kind to us too. So let's sing another hymn, number 663, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky." Now we'll hear our readings, first from Romans and then from Matthew.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness.
The second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me."
Thank you. We Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. Hymn number 594. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our holder, our redeemer. Amen. Some words from Isaiah 51, the Old Testament reading for today. Listen to me, all who follow the right and seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to your father Abraham and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was alone, but I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will bless Israel, comfort all her ruined homes, turning her wilderness into an Eden, her thirsty plains into a garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found in her, thanksgiving and singing. Listen to me, my people, listen. O Israel, I will see that right prevails. My mercy and justice, my kindness are coming soon, Your salvation is on the way. I will rule the nations. They shall wait for me and long for me to come. Now listen particularly to this part. Lift your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The skies grow murky as smoke. The earth wears into tatters. But my deliverance is everlasting, and my saving power will never fail. Listen to me, you who know right from wrong, and cherish my laws in your hearts. Don't be afraid of people's scorn or their slanderous talk, for my justice and mercy shall last forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. The skies grow murky as smoke. The earth wears into tatters. Doesn't this strike a chord with us who have recently seen on the news the smoke of wildfires engulfing Hawaii, the Greek islands, Portugal, Canada, and elsewhere in southern Europe? And what about the smoke rising from ruined buildings in Ukraine, the dust from the Syrian earthquake, and the floods in China and Slovenia, sweeping the cars into the torrent? What is happening to the earth is frightening. But it's no good sitting back and chanting, "Time is on my side," or being afraid of climate change deniers. It is time for those of us who know right from wrong and cherish God's laws in our hearts to act by doing all we can to reverse the damage to creation and to seek justice and mercy in the world, to be people who are kind. Kind to creation, kind to other people. God is merciful and kind and wants us to share that kindness with those worse off than ourselves. Jesus is the Lord and ruler of all, who holds us close and calls us to be as Christ to those around us who are struggling. A couple of months ago, I went on retreat to Launde Abbey, where I painted the icon of the Pantocrator that you now see on the screens. And as I explained, the name translates as the Lord and ruler of all. But in both Greek and Russian, it has two possible translations. The verb that it's derived from can mean to rule, to have power, or to hold or support. As it says in Colossians 1:17, all things hold together in Christ. Another name for this icon is Christ in glory. So where do we see Christ's glory in this Pantocrator icon? It shows us Jesus as risen, ascended, and glorified. One of the meanings of glory is brightness, light, or halo. The first obvious sign of it in the icon is the gold in the halo on Christ's sash and in the decoration on the Bible. But gold isn't just used to be flashy. The gilding of the halo, or of the whole background if the icon is to be used in a church, is the first thing you do when you're making the icon, before any of the painting, and it represents the uncreated light of heaven. The icon itself is a window to heaven where we see Christ in glory. Now you may be able to see. If you can't see it from the distance you're at the moment, at the end of the service, come and have a look at the icon on the communion table here. That Christ's mouth is slightly open, as though he's about to say something, or is actually saying it. In icons of the Pantocrator, the Bible may be closed, as it is in this one, or it might be open, in which case there will be one of seven possible inscriptions written on its pages. One of those inscriptions is, "I am the light of the world. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." Another possible inscription is, "I am resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." But the verse that I like best of these inscriptions, and that I imagine on the lips of Jesus, is the one that Miriam gave us last Sunday morning. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And I would add to that, "I will hold you safe." In our gospel reading, as Jesus and his disciples made their way to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked them a question that, in a way, seems rather uncharacteristic of him. "Who are people saying that I am?" He wasn't normally that interested in what people thought of him, and he certainly didn't need any reassurance as to his own identity. He'd had the confirmation of that at his baptism, after all. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Excuse me. He'd been performing miracles and healings in Galilee and was well aware of some of the opposition to him that was building up among the Jewish authorities. But his question now was about the ordinary people who'd come to hear his teaching. The disciples confirmed in their reply that people were identifying him with John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets. But then he went on to ask a more searching question, to see how much the disciples themselves had understood of his ministry so far. "And you, who do you say that I am?" This is when Peter, in a moment of insight, but as we shall see, only of partial understanding, blurts out, "You are the Messiah." Jesus immediately tells the disciples that they are to repeat this to no one. It is to be their secret. In what is widely regarded as the turning point of the gospel, Jesus then tells his disciples that they are to repeat this to no one. But that the Son of Man must suffer, be rejected by the Jewish authorities, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. This is not at all what Peter thought should happen to the Messiah. And he says so, but Jesus, looking round to see whether the others have heard this, immediately rebukes him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. How often do we do that? Peter can't really understand the import of his announcement that Jesus is the Messiah. As soon as Jesus starts to explain that he must suffer and die, Peter objects. He will only understand in stages. This is probably the reason why Jesus told his disciples to keep his identity secret. The word Messiah had a very definite connotation for the Jewish people, tied up with the return of the kingdom and with political opposition to Roman rule. If people got to hear that this was who Jesus was, it would be immediately misunderstood. They might identify him with the zealots who wanted to overthrow the Romans by force. But it goes deeper than that. A secret is something you don't tell, something hidden. But it has another meaning. It is also the essential truth, the mystery at the heart of something. When Jesus said to his disciples for the first of three times that he was to be a Messiah who must suffer and be rejected, a Messiah who would be killed and rise again, even though he kept repeating it to them, they couldn't possibly understand the mystery of a God who sacrifices himself, even to the point of death, until they had lived through the events of the second half of the gospel. This was a mystery they had to experience for themselves. Jesus' real secret of a God who loves each human being enough to die for them and raise them to new life is one that has to be personally experienced by each of us. Only then can we answer the question, and you, who do you say that I am? With the words, my Lord, the holder of all. Once we have confessed that, we can also know who Christ says that we are, beloved children of God. We are held in the arms of a kind and compassionate Saviour. And finally, to the reading from Romans. In this reading, Paul calls us to sacrificial loving and living, to use the gifts that each of us has been given to overcome our fear and hold others close as Christ holds us. If we do seek peace and justice for the world, then to return to Isaiah in a different chapter, your light shall break forth like the dawn, and soon you will grow healthy, like a wound newly healed. I'd like to end with a prayer by Susan Derber. Eternal God, when we feel afraid and nothing seems secure or sure, when we are tempted to give up or to turn elsewhere, cling fast to us and hold us close until we feel again the steady and unstoppable beat of your love and the security of our place with you. May we know this day those things which cannot be taken from us and which are your eternal gifts to us, that death is defeated, that life and love triumph, that goodness will last, that forgiveness is sure. And on these truths, as firm as rock, we will stand, and nothing will prevail against us. Amen. Now some prayers of confession and commitment. Let us pray. First, a poem. One World. He held it in the palm of his hand, a little jewel glowing green and aquamarine, sparkling with life and beauty. Compared with his greatness, it was a tiny thing, this jewel, no more than a marble thrown into the sky. Yet every speck of colour opened a gate of glory. His glory spread out on the land. It held his power, awesome and wonderful, mysterious and dangerous, contained in the throbbing ball. There were many worlds within it, worlds of plants and fishes, animals, people, birds. Each world itself was many, millions of each species. No two made the same. Yet at its heart was a silver secret, holding it all together, making it truly one. Love was its unity. One word, one world. Love made it precious. A tear fell on his jewel. Would they ever understand? And now a prayer by Sue McCone. O God, you know us through and through. You know the gifts you have given us, the strengths we have, and those we have yet to discover. You know that when you call us to serve you, you give us all we need to answer your call. You know us through and through. You know our fears, our worries, and our weakness, and how much we tend to make ourselves comfortable. You know that this is not enough for us, and that we will only live fully in serving you. We hear you speaking. Dare us to believe it is us that you need, that you never make mistakes, that you will give us the words to say, and that you will show us where to go and what to do. We say yes to your call. Dare us to step out, to speak and proclaim, to challenge and confront, confident in your words, your strength, your courage, and your help. Alive in you, to the glory of your name. Amen. Now we'll sing hymn number 611, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.
Thank you.
Now a short prayer of offering. Lord, when we think what you have given to us, all that we have, all that we are, all that we can do, we are amazed and overwhelmed by your kindness. Use all the gifts that we have, our money, our time, our talents, our compassion, for the building of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And we continue with our prayers of intercession. God of healing and compassion, we pray for people who live with struggle. For people struggling with the built environment, with steps and curbs and doors that give no access. For people struggling with awkward transport systems that limit their travelling. For people struggling with lack of information, confusing systems and multiple authorities. For people struggling with financial worries, mortgage rises, rent increases, childcare costs. For people struggling with fears and anxieties for the future, with climate change, with failing health, with bereavement. For people struggling with careless attitudes where simple thought might make a real difference. We pray for the souls of all who have died, especially our brother Jim and George Nahuma Sithole, who died in Zimbabwe on the 13th of August. And we remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am resurrection and I am life. Lord, you consoled Martha and Mary in their distress. Draw near to all who mourn today and dry the tears of those who weep. Especially Joe, Jack, Billy and the family, and Katai and family. You wept at the grave of Lazarus, your friend. Draw near to us in our sorrow. You raise the dead to life. Give to those who have died eternal life, we pray. In your concern for all people, give us awareness of the ways in which we disable each other. Help us to see what we can put right and give us the courage to do what is needed, even if we are opposed or criticized, so that we are all able to live in fullness in the beautiful garden that is the earth. Amen. Lord, thy church on earth is seeking thy renewal from above. Number 410 in the hymn book. O God, keep the memory of your kindness alive. Fan into flame the embers of hope. Though we sense your absence in a bleak, despairing time, focus our minds and hearts on memories of grace surprising us, that faith may be kept alive and hope rekindled. Remind us always that you hold us in your hand. God of life, through whom the world was made and all things came to be, give us that same expectation and desire with which you made us, that we may go out knowing the value of enrichment of each moment, the potential of every thought, the opportunity of every action, that we may know what it is to live and love and hold and be held. Amen.